Since the Iranian conflict began, every week there's endless new things to think about. Every week there's twists and gyrations. People ask about that regularly, and what I say to you now will almost certainly be out of date very soon. But I'll tell you what I think about it that I think isn't out of date and won't be out of date. Before that, let me say we have a very long history of conflicts in a variety of forms. There's 9 energy-centric conflicts that we can identify in the post-1980 environment. There's conflicts that go back in non-energy-centric ways. But the one part would be to do with how war progresses. The other part has to do with wars that are specifically about energy. I want to talk about 2 points. One, energy-centric wars follow a 3-phase process. The first phase is before the fighting starts. Normally, if you just go back a number of months before that, the price of oil and natural gas would be a reflection of the cost of production on average around the world versus demand for energy. That's not hard to figure out. That doesn't change all that much in a big hurry. You get a little volatility around it, which is normal speculation in liquid markets. But as the tensions build that lead up to a conflict, the price of oil rises with that. And so, for example, in this conflict, oil went from $55 a barrel early in January up to 70 at the time of the conflict beginning. That's a normal function. That's phase one. Phase two is the fighting immediately exacerbates all that. And markets start pre-pricing worst-case alternatives before they can figure out what is going to happen that isn't actually worst-case. And this spikes oil and was the event almost immediately after the fighting began that got oil up to about $120 a barrel. Then, with a little time, sometimes longer, sometimes shorter, depending on the specific conflict, markets begin to pre-price the degree to which the outcome will be less than worst cases, maybe even down to best cases, depending on what the circumstance is. And in this matter, oil prices start to come down, which in the case of the Iranian conflict has certainly been happening, and stocks go up, which has also been happening as we've hit all-time highs. Initial drop, not quite big enough to be what's normally considered a full-scale stock market correction, but then recovery and move on to new highs. It is all normal for the third step. That outcome of the details of this war we'll come back to in a moment in a different way, the way a type of conflict that isn't necessarily energy-centric always ends. But first, let me just say that in energy-centric conflicts, the price of oil 6 and 12 months after the conflict begins is regularly lower than it was before the conflict began, back into the range of the pricing that existed while the tensions rose. In this instance, the $55 to $70 a barrel level that oil was in early in the year before the fighting started. That function is because the fighting will lead to an outcome in this instance or another instance, depending on what it is, but without regard to the details, that will lead to energy falling back to the cost of production versus the demand for energy. Now, there are other things that play into that a little bit, but when we think about wars that threaten or potentially create regime change, another feature about them that is a simple statement, that's a categorical one, is in third world countries, the military is normally used partially for deterrent effects from external sources, but also for population control, which is not what you would get in developed nations. In that, when there is to actually be regime change, one of the processes that happens is the military starts to get into conflict with the regime. The military doesn't think the regime is handling whatever it is correctly. And because it really has the ability and the power, if it so chooses, to depose the regime, what, you know, often in yesteryear used to be referred to as a junta, the military either forces regime change or becomes regime change. And sometimes we've seen third world nations deposed by a military junta where the military took over to then run the government. What we've seen most recently is the IRG, the elite military in Iran, moving in its own ways without regard to what the regime had previously said would occur. This could be planned duplicity, but more likely is it beginning to get edgy about the fact that it's going to be more concerned about its own position, its own survival, its own future, that it is concerned about the regime that exists as we know it. How that progresses exactly, I'm not going to try to speculate on. I will say this: to date, in both energy-centric wars and regime change wars, has moved in almost archetypally normal ways. Now, the only real difference is, today, compared to many of the wars in the past, the fact is, the superiority of Western military gear in the air and in the water is hugely greater than Eastern gear. And that trend has been one which I'm not going to waste time on here, but has, since 1980, been moving in the Falkland Islands War, the first time Western gear showed clear dominance over Eastern gear, has been getting wider and wider and wider and wider with time as Western technology has provided advance over what Eastern gear is capable of doing. That was displayed abundantly in the early phases of the Iranian conflict, remains true today. The technology in so many ways has been spectacular. On the other hand, what's lacking in this war that has been in many wars before is granular detail in reporting about what's actually going on. It's harder today to get more real facts and easier today to get lots of spurious opinions from all kinds of sources. People will tell you all kinds about what's really going on and the inside story and the scoop that nobody else will tell you, and mostly that's all opinion. The fact is, I'm unable to describe why we're not getting better reporting, but we aren't. And so you have to dig harder to actually find the truth, and you have to assume an awful lot of what's being thrown at you is garbage. But so far, this war is going in an archetypally normal fashion for an energy-centric war or for a regime change war, where with some unpredictable amount of time ahead, you almost certainly, if the United States...
请关注公众号,思维纪要社,更多纪要请加V.
States is ready to be perseverant, get regime change. Exactly what that regime change creates remains to be seen. Thank you for listening. I hope you found this useful. Hi, this is Ken Fisher. Subscribe to the Fisher Investment YouTube channel if you like what you've seen. Click the bell to be notified as soon as we publish new videos.